Welcome to Gospel Truth, celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And now, here's Gospel Truth Bible teacher, Andrew Womack.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series on taking the limits off of God. And I tell you, this has transformed my life. And I believe that as I share these things over television, that it's also touching your life and that we are going to see a lot of people begin to start taking the limits off of God. I've got a book by this title. This is a brand new book. The subtitle is Imagine Yourself Successful. This is the first time we've offered this book. I encourage you to get it. It would be a real blessing. We've also got CDs, DVDs, and a study guide. And then I've got this little static cling sticker that you just pull off of here, and it just sticks anywhere. It'll stick to this book. It'll stick anywhere. And I use this thing a lot to just keep me remembering not to limit God. And I'd encourage you to please get these materials. If the program has been a blessing to you, I promise you that you need to go over these things. You know, this is something that the Lord spoke to me January the 31st, 2002, and I have gone over this and over it. And I made a point last week of saying that even in 2014, 12 years later, God spoke to me and told me I'm beginning to limit Him again by my small thinking. It's not the kind of thing that you just deal with one time and it's over. Our tendency is to, you know, be like water and seek the lowest level, the path of least resistance. That's the way that the world is pulling every one of us. And for us to reach our full potential, you're going to have to put some effort behind it. And these materials are designed to just stir you up and to help you begin to start taking the limits off God. So again, real quickly, let me just share some things, background, in case you don't remember or this is the only program that you've watched. But I started on television in 2000 and our ministry doubled and there was good things happening from 2000 to 2002. But the Lord spoke to me January the 31st, 2002, that I was limiting Him by my small thinking. What I shared in the previous days of this week was that one of the ways I was limiting Him was just by being lazy. It takes effort to see your dreams and visions come to pass. It takes effort to keep yourself stirred up. You know, you can't just coast. You can't just lay on your couch and be a couch potato and do nothing. To keep the flame of God and the vision alive on the inside of you, it takes effort. You have to pursue the things of God. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. And so I've described already that I just reached a place where things were working well. We were seeing people's lives touched and I just got lazy. And the Lord told me I needed to quit being lazy. I needed to get with it and stir myself up. So that was one thing that was hindering God. But now I want to move into some other things. And this is really where my big problem was, that, you know, I had a fear of failure. Now, you might voice this differently. You could call it a fear of risk. Most people just want to play things safe. They don't like to take risk. And yet, you aren't going to accomplish anything if you don't take some risk. A turtle never gets anywhere if he doesn't stick his neck out. Amen. You aren't going to go anywhere in life if you aren't willing to take risk. You know, I had one employee that after he quit working for me, he went to work for this big corporation and he was, you know, he was making a living. It wasn't a huge amount of money, but he was doing okay and he was making a living. And then they wanted to downsize and stuff, the company did. And so they were offering this early retirement and these big lump sum type of things. But this man, he honestly felt like God had given him a goal to go in a different direction. He wanted to start his own business, but there was risk involved with that. He came to me and asked me about it. And I said, you know what? Once you say that God told you to do this, once you play the God card, then you just need to do what God told you to do. And I said, forget the risk. Just do what God put in your heart. But he had this lump sum. If he would take this early retirement, if he would go the way that the corporation wanted him to do. And anyway, out of a fear of taking risk, he took this safe way out. And did you know it didn't work? The guy wound up, it's a long story, but the guy wound up, he's not even with us today. He's dead. And it just was a destructive, terrible choice that he made. And he did that because he just took the path of least resistance. He tried to play it safe. And I believe that this is what's happening to a lot of people. I've actually read a survey, and they did a survey among people as they were dying, their, you know, the last wishes and stuff, and they asked them, what would you do differently? And nearly every single person said, I would have taken more risk. I would have stretched myself more. I would have gone for it. I played it too safe. And I think that that's what the average person does. They're afraid of failure. Let me share a passage of Scripture. This is one of my favorite passages over in 2 Kings chapter 7. And there was a famine in the land of Samaria, and the city was besieged by the Syrians. And the famine was so bad that they were selling animal dung for these huge prices, and people were eating animal dung. There actually is an instance in the 6th chapter where these two ladies ate their own children, cannibalized them. It was a severe drought. And in the midst of the thing, there were four lepers that were outside of the city gates, and they, of course, were starving to death too. And finally, they came to this conclusion. It says in verse 3, this is 2 Kings 7:3, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. I love that. Boy, this is impeccable logic. I just think this is awesome. You know, if most people could use this logic today, I guarantee it would change your life. But here they were in a situation where if they stayed where they were going to die. If they went backwards into the city where the famine was, they were going to die. If they went forward, if they went out to the Syrians, well, then there was a possibility of them dying, but it was the only chance they had of survival. They didn't know for sure that the Syrians would kill them. It's possible the Syrians had let them go. Or, you know, there was at least an option there, but there was huge risk. The potential was that they would die. But you know, the truth was they were going to die anyway. If something didn't happen, they were going to die of starvation. And so they had to take a risk. And because of it, these people who were the outcast, I mean, they were the zeros. Nobody wanted them. In the city, everybody was dying, but they wouldn't even let these lepers come into the city. They put them outside of the gate. They were just outcast. There was nothing good in their life. But when they went out to the Syrians and took a risk, they went out there and found out that the Lord had made the Syrians to hear a sound like an army coming. They thought that the Israelites had hired the Egyptians to fight against them. And these people took off and left, and their fires were still burning. Their food was still on the fires. They still had their gold, their silver, their raiment there. They left their camels. They left their donkeys. They left everything. The people just ran in total panic. And these men who were starving to death all of a sudden came into such abundance that they could eat all that they wanted. They got the silver and the gold and the raiment, and they went and buried them, dug holes and buried them and hid them. And they just gorged themselves. And finally, they said, you know, we aren't doing well. This is a day of glad tidings. We need to go back and let the people in the city know that the Syrians are fled. And so they went back and told them. They checked it out. And these lepers who were zeros went to being heroes in just a matter of minutes. They became wealthy. They became the ones that everybody was thanking them for bringing them this good news. And all because somebody was willing to take a risk. And you know, I see people like this all of the time, that they are miserable where they are. They're dying. They may not be dying physically at that moment, but they're dying spiritually. They're dying emotionally. And yet they're afraid of doing something different. You know, I travel and I hold these conferences, and we always advertise our Bible college and try and encourage people to come and be a part of it, because I've seen the way it changes people's lives. And this is one of the things that I'll tell them all of the time, that I think it was Albert Einstein that said it's a definition of insanity to do the same thing and expect different results. And yet there are people that come to my meetings, they want something different, they want change, they want to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, which they don't have. They want to find out what their destiny is. They want to accomplish something. They want to make their life change. They are just dissatisfied with the way it is, and yet they're afraid to do anything differently. That's insane, to do the same thing and expect different results. And I've been to some places year after year after year and seen people come, express their frustration to me, and I pray with them, and then the next year they come back and they're in the same situation. Why? Most of the time it's because they're afraid to take a risk. They're afraid to change. You know, they've got a job, they've got security, and they're just afraid to change. You know, the Israelites, when they came out of the land of Egypt, one of the things that limited God and kept them from entering into the promised land was because they were looking back about what they had in Egypt. They said, "We missed the leeks and the garlics." They were slaves. They were oppressed. They were being beaten. They didn't have any money, but they were provided with food in exchange for their slave labor. And did you know what? There's some people that just, they would rather have the security of slavery than run the risk of going out and making it on their own. I've actually read accounts of people in America when President Lincoln freed the slaves, and when the Civil War was won and the slaves were set free. There are actual examples of slaves still wanting to be a slave and going back to their master and wanting to live under slavery, because even though it wasn't abundant and it wasn't free, it was secure. They were guaranteed security. They had guaranteed food. They had guaranteed housing. It was terrible housing. None of it was abundant, but there's some people that would trade freedom and potential for slavery any day. And I'm telling you, there's people watching this program that it may not be slavery like the American slaves were in bondage, but you are in slavery to a job. You're enslaved to all kinds of things because you're afraid to take a risk. You're afraid to get out there and fail. You know, I believe that the biggest failure is to do nothing. I think that the biggest failure, when people try something and they fail, I don't think that that's failure. You know, the Lord prayed for Peter and says, "Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Most people think, well, Peter's faith did fail. He actually denied the Lord 3 times that he even knew the Lord. But Jesus prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. His faith faltered. Some people would look at that and say they have a short-term mentality and think, well, he failed. He denied the Lord 3 times. But if you look at his life over a whole, he was able to recover from that. And he went on to become a pillar of the church in Jerusalem. And he went on and the tradition has it that he was crucified upside down in Rome because he didn't count himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was. So they hung him upside down and crucified him. Peter did recover. Peter was not a failure. Even though his faith faltered, I believe it's incorrect to say that it failed because Jesus prayed that it wouldn't fail. So what I'm saying here is that, see, some people are afraid that they will fail, but the biggest failure is to do nothing. If you go out and try and do what God has placed on your heart and fail, quote unquote fail, that's not a failure unless you quit right there. If you get up and go again, you fell forward. You failed forward. And you know what? We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all have things that we're learning, and nobody does everything perfectly. If you're afraid of a risk, if you're afraid of taking a chance, well, then you're going to be just like these lepers. What are you going to do? Sit there until you die? Are you going to stay there until you totally quench the fire that God has placed in your heart? Until you totally lose the vision of what God has given you? You know what? You need to take a risk. You are never going to accomplish anything if you're afraid of risk. And I meet people all of the time that this just paralyzes them. You know, the reason I bring this up is to say that when the Lord spoke to me in 2002, this was one of the reasons that I was limiting God. I didn't want to run the risk. I've said this before, but I started in ministry in 68, and until 2000, that's 32 years, I had been fighting the fear of failure and just on the brink of being out of the ministry. I had many people tell me, you ought to quit. You just aren't made for this. I mean, people stayed away from my churches and ministry by the thousands. And you know what? It was just a constant pressure. But then when we went on television, we started seeing success, and I was afraid of pushing the envelope and getting out of that spot that for 2 years had just been awesome, where things were working, there wasn't the pressure, and I didn't want to get back into that place where I was running the risk of failure. And so it was a fear of failure, a fear of risk that literally just kept me limiting God. And when God spoke to me about this, I guarantee you, I had to repent of it and turn away from it. Again, when I go to these meetings, you know, I have a lot of people that they come up and they say that God has spoken to them about coming to Charis Bible College. And so they want to come, but then they will start giving me all of these reasons that, you know, they're only 5 years away from retirement. They've got this nice home. They got a great job. They don't know if they can get a job when they come out here. And on and on and on and on it goes. They talk about their grandkids. They talk about their family. They talk about, you know, just all kinds of things. And it's a fear of doing something different. It's a fear of taking a risk. They aren't content where they are. They have a word from God, but they just don't want to run the risk. I'm telling you, you cannot succeed doing that. If you go look at people, even in the secular world, it doesn't have to be a Christian. It doesn't have to be in the Bible. But you just go look at people who are, you know, quote unquote successes, people who are millionaires, billionaires. Nearly every person that I've ever studied like that has failed more than one time. But they get up, they fail forward, and they just keep going, and eventually they learn through those things, and then they become a quote-unquote success. You can't find people who the world calls real successes that haven't taken risk. Many of them have not only taken risk, but they've failed, and yet they just get up and go again. You know, the Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get back up. If you are truly seeking the Lord, you don't need to be afraid of taking risks. You've got to get rid of this fear. You got to get rid of playing it safe. You're playing it way too safe. You are going to have to stretch yourself. And this is one of the things that the Lord spoke to me, that I was just afraid of failing. I was afraid of, you know, not only what it would do for me, but I didn't want to misrepresent the Lord. I didn't want to tell people that God has told me to expand our television and to reach and to do all of this and then it not come to pass. Not only would I have mud on my face, but then I felt like it would be giving a black eye to the Lord. I was saying, thus saith the Lord, and yet if it didn't come to pass. You know, there's just all kinds of ways you can rationalize things and say that I can't take these risks. But I'm telling you, a fear of failure, a fear of risk is a limit to what God wants you to do. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, God had told Moses that He wanted to bring the people out. And so that was a huge step right there. There was a fear of what's Pharaoh going to do. And sure enough, it got worse before it got better. This is another lesson that I've learned, that just because God has given you a word doesn't mean that the devil's going to vacate, that he's not going to fight you. Matter of fact, it's usually just the opposite. You start doing what God called you to do, you're going to come, find resistance. You're going to find things fighting against you. And so it's not going to be just all roses just because you're heading in the direction that God wants you to go. There's going to be effort involved with it. But when the children of Israel came out, God didn't bring them out to let them die in the wilderness. It was so He could bring them into the promised land. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God hasn't put things in your heart to see you fail. He wants to bring you in. He wants to bring you into that promised land. He wants to see His will fulfilled. He wants to flow through you and use you. I can guarantee you that God doesn't make anybody a failure. God has never created a dud. It is not God's will that any of you just flounder. God wants you to succeed. But for you to get from where you are to where God wants you to be, yes, you are going to have to take some risk. There are no guarantees. I can guarantee you it's God's will for you to prosper, but it's going to take cooperation on your part, and you could fail. You could get out there and fail, and that is a possibility. But you're going to have to deal with it. You know what will deal with this fear? Over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out fear. Whoever fears has not been made perfect in love. And I really believe that this is the antidote. When you are sitting here saying, but I'm afraid, what happens if I fail and stuff? You could say it in a lot of different ways, but what it boils down to is you just don't know how much God loves you. God has never created you to fail. It is not God's will for you to fail. He will help you. And if you truly believe that, if you've got a true word from God, if God has really put some vision in your heart, you can guarantee that God is going to be there to help bring it to pass. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. I'm confident of this very thing. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really understand how much God loves you, then that just overcomes this fear. And this is ultimately what happened with me. When the Lord showed me I'd become lazy, that I was afraid of stretching myself and failing and getting back into a place where there was pressure on me, it really boiled down to the fact that I just wasn't focused on how much He loved me. God wasn't asking me to do anything that was going to harm me. God only wants to do good. His plan for me are peace, to give me an expected end. And I had to just go back and remind myself of how faithful God has been to me and how He loves me. And when I started doing that, I just rested in His love and am willing to step out and take a risk because I know that God's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And it's the same for you. God loves you. God, if what you are trying to pursue is God, if it's a God-given vision, then there is always an anointing from God there to be able to accomplish it. And you need to rest in His love. That perfect love will cast that fear out of you, and it will take this limit off of God. I tell you, that's powerful. And I believe that there's a lot of people watching this program, that this was a word from God through me to you. It not only was for me, I'm not only sharing with you what God has spoken to me, but this will work for you. And I encourage you to take this, not just as my word, but take it as it is in truth, the Word of God. It'll change your life.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. In 2005, Jeff Nakula was living in Michigan when he started watching a preacher on television named Andrew Womack.
I watched some of his shows and then I ordered a bunch of teachings. And the next thing I knew, I signed up to come to his Bible college.
That same year, Autumn Dill attended a Gospel Truth seminar in her home state of Tennessee.
One day, my parents called me and said, "Would you like to come with us to a Gospel Truth seminar in Alabama with Andrew Womack?" And so after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, I knew going to Charis Bible College was the next step.
During their time at CBC, God called both of them into ministry. Their mutual calling to help a friend with his mission work led Jeff and Autumn to see each other more often. Through their faith and time at CBC, God brought the two of them together, and they were married.
Our relationship progressed pretty quickly. She came up to visit me at the ranch a lot.
I was ready to get married, and I wanted to marry him, and I didn't want to be apart from him anymore.
During their honeymoon, they both felt called to go to India for mission work. They left right away and discovered a mutual love for spreading the good news and work of missionaries through media and video. Today, Jeff and Autumn are instructors at CBC. They teach in the media school and show future CBC world changers how to effectively communicate the gospel through media and video. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God, is available in a brand new book in English or Spanish for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies of the outlines and scriptures as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get Don't Limit God on either CD or DVD as seen on TV, also for a gift of any amount. Every book and album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Or you can get the sticker free of charge when you go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer. Limit one free per household. If you'd like additional stickers, they're available for a gift of $1 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled Fear of Risk. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. Retreat to the mountains and prepare to advance with Andrew Womack, Happy Caldwell, and Greg Moore in Woodland Park, Colorado for Men's Advance 2015. Be encouraged to fulfill your God-given destiny through powerful praise and worship, anointed teaching, and fellowship. Register at charisbiblecollege.org/men's2015. Men, get ready to advance into the spiritual.